Welcome to Season 8, Episode 7 of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Catherine, and I'm joined by my co-host, Laura. For this season of our podcast, we are focusing on transcending the triage of our remote learning lives as we discuss where we are and where we're going to transform our pedagogy and practices. Today's episode continues our conversation about feedback through the lens of students.
And I love this conversation, and I love that we get to continue it thinking about our students. So just to check in, last week we discussed Gail Allen's identified 4 elements of effective feedback. They were immediate, specific, frequent, and actionable. We talked about how feedback looks different in emergency remote teaching and how we as educators are craving feedback on our content right now. Let's think about how our students are receiving feedback and the way that we're giving them that good, immediate, specific, frequent, and actionable feedback.
Well, in our emergency remote learning lives, we have used and found tools galore. And I think all of us, even those of us who are pretty tech savvy, have maybe rediscovered a new tool, or we're finding ways that we can use tools in new and innovative ways. So this has provided a lot of opportunities for tech tools.
Oh, for sure. I think we have all been extraordinary learners in the last few weeks. So let's talk about some of those tools. Catherine, what have you found and seen and used as a good tool to give that good, specific feedback to students?
Well, the first one I'm thinking about is Google Classroom. And We know that so many of our learners are using Classroom as a way of getting the content in there. And when we first started all of this remote learning, everyone was asking, how do we get things in Classroom? As time passed, I think more and more teachers are discovering, if they haven't used it already, all of these, Laura, you said it earlier, nooks and crannies of Google Classroom that allows you to have class comments or polls or private comments. And especially with those private comments, you can really give that specific actionable feedback. And with all the notifications in Google Classroom, you can get immediate responses. So that's the first thing that pops into my head.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. And I really think about the way that comment really goes back and forth to really kind of have that feedback loop happening. Like you said, I think at the beginning when we moved to LMSs, we just put stuff in there and it was a container. But it really can be transformative when you establish that conversation, especially in a time that we don't get to have those in-person conversations with students. And so using that as the place to house that feedback that is not one way, but that is back and forth, truly, truly helpful.
Well, and if you want to know more about Classroom comments and Google Classroom, Alice Keeler is the person to provide that information, and she's got even rubrics and all kinds of things about those private comment workflows.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I saw a tweet that she tweeted, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. There was actually a rubric for a spreadsheet you could upload to your classroom specifically for that feedback loop. So you can kind of track, okay, student has submitted it, teacher has provided feedback, student has tweaked it, resubmitted it, and kind of having that back and forth. So shout out always to Alice Keeler, and we'll be sure to link that in the show notes as well.
Cool. All right, Laura, what about you?
Okay, so for me, kind of similar to your thinking, when we first went remote, a lot of us discovered or rediscovered the importance of screencasting tools. And I don't know about you, but I've made so many Screencastify and Loom videos. And so it's such a great tool to use to disseminate information when you're not there, to embed your little face to tell what's going on or show specifically on a document what you're doing. But the next step is really leveraging those tools to give that feedback. We've talked about in previous episodes and just in conversations that we've had how bizarrely important it is right now. I didn't realize how important it is to see people's faces and kind of read those cues. And especially when it's people that I'm working with, that face is super important. And so using screencasting tools to leave feedback where you are sharing your screen to kind of show the product that the student has turned in, and your little face is there to give them that actionable next step, that specific feedback that is more than just a good job, game changer. And I actually did this as a classroom teacher pre-pandemic and found it to be, I'll use that word again, a game changer for me and my students, that just different input of video and seeing my face and having that really specific feedback was faster for me. I can speak much more quickly than write comments or type comments, and having that kind of interaction, even though it wasn't synchronous, my students would watch it and actually listen to the feedback when often they would not, you know, read it when I had spent, you know, hours as an English teacher writing this good feedback. I found that the screencast, it was a really good way to get the students to actually pay attention to the feedback. And that's amazing.
Love it. That's a fantastic idea. And you're right. It's so important to see faces and to hear voices, I think, with that whole feedback process. Okay, so speaking of videos, another favorite tool that has really emerged is Flipgrid. Well, and it was very popular pre-pandemic, but I think more and more educators were very interested in using that. And it is a great way to share ideas and maybe as a product. But Flipgrid also has some amazing tools behind the scenes where teachers can give individual feedback to students on those video grids. And not only can you give typed comments, you can also give video comments. And so the students are able to, again, like you said, with Screencastify, hear your voice, see your face, and you can be very, very specific. And again, you get a notification that your Flipgrid has been posted. You can provide that feedback very quickly. And I think that is another fantastic tool for giving all of those the feedback.
Oh, yeah. Also, something that's helpful about Flipgrid is if you're not feeling your corona hair for the day, they've made it so easy. They've got that like cool, weird pixelated filter, or slap an emoji over your face, or cover your camera. Those are some helpful pieces as well. And I really like that back and forth in Flipgrid that's a lot more accessible than just kind of recording a screencast and posting it in Google Classroom or linking it in that Google Doc or whatever that product is. You know, Flipgrid really allows for that ease of back and forth conversation with students as well. And so when we talk about this feedback piece and being really specific and actionable, it's almost like a virtual discussion board. And so if we have set it up to be a place for feedback and set up that class culture for giving that feedback, that's a really good tool and platform to use.
Well, and I have used that as a discussion platform, and it has worked beautifully with educators, and so I'm sure that the students would enjoy doing that as well.
Yeah.
All right, Laura, one more for me.
Okay, so one more makes me sigh because there are so many. Cut back to our curation episode when we're like, there's too many tools, but okay, if I have one more, I've got to talk about Pear Deck. So I am a huge fan of Pear Deck. I love it and have used it for a long time in synchronous sessions. So in a PD session, hey, let's all hop into this link. We'll be on the same page. I'm controlling the slides. There's some interactivity in there. Sometimes I'll open it up for people to go on their own pace, but it really keeps us together and on the same page with some interactivity, especially in large groups of, you know, a couple hundred people in one room. However, I'm now experiencing and playing around with Pear Deck for asynchronous learning, and it's pretty awesome. I'm working right now to finished building out and tweaking some of my summer sessions. And one of the most recent Pear Deck updates that I love is this really, really easy ability to record audio on the slides. And so it's just embedded right there. And so I've got my text instructions, I've got interactive pop-up slides that will happen. But in case you need just a little bit more, there's about a 10-second instruction piece of audio that I've recorded as well. And that is pretty cool.
I cannot wait to see that. And we talked in our last episode about you sharing your slides. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing that slide deck and how that all works. That is a great, great feature.
For sure. And really that interactivity, I just kind of gushed over Pear Deck there for a second. But thinking specifically through that feedback piece, asking the intentional questions, you know, if you have a pop-up that is, hey, student, asynchronously working on your own time, drag the dot to show your understanding or type this text piece in. And then I get a notification when they finish the piece. And so I'm able to use the takeaway piece to share that out with them. And I can then follow up with that actionable feedback based on their interaction with the slides versus saying like, hey, look at these, you know, 20 slides, get the content. And so I really like that interactivity helps give me that information and the feedback that I need to then shift my teaching or just kind of like recalibrate as needed based on people's understanding.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So Laura and I both mentioned this idea of we get notifications and then we respond to the feedback. And so Laura shared a really interesting conversation that she had about giving this feedback. And I thought it was so important. Please tell this story again in this episode about this understanding of giving feedback.
Right. Okay, so this all goes back to something that I talk about all the time, which is time and this strange like fluidity of time that we have right now where our days look different than they traditionally do. And the way that we're spending our time has differed. And so I was on a webinar a couple of weeks ago and the conversation about, you know, reaching out to students, being engaging, keeping them motivated came up. And so feedback was kind of the natural conversation that we are having. And so somebody posed the question to say like, hey, how do I do that? You know, I'm a high school teacher. I have 175 students. How do I give the, I mean, how do I make 175 videos to give them that feedback? And so it was kind of a wall that we have all hit. And somebody else piped up in the chat and said, you know, I also have 175 students, but truthfully, I'm only doing this live kind of synchronous face-to-face learning 30 minutes, three times a week. So I'm just using my time differently and giving those little personal messages. I mean, it's not long. No one wants to listen to a long video of you giving feedback anyway. Just that reaching out and giving that specific and actionable feedback and also including my face has really given my students the motivation to continue working. They were saying that, you know, they've gotten more work from their students, more communication, and just rethinking, hey, I'm not driving right now. I'm not on hall duty. I'm not teaching seven classes a day, trying to run between class periods for 2 minutes. You know, I really am utilizing that time to give that feedback. And I loved hearing that story.
That is so brilliant. And I could just see light bulbs popping up everywhere. Understanding that with your different look of time and how you're spending your days. And you do now have possibly some time for responding to those notifications and providing private comments or creating videos to give that the students those very specific actionable feedback pieces.
Right. And just that making connection piece, too. I know that relationships and connection continues to crop up as even more important now, maybe than ever. And so what a cool way to be giving feedback on products while also establishing and furthering that connection with students. Again, I loved it. It was really fun to watch it just kind of naturally happen in a chat.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, and that reminds me of Jennifer Gonzalez's Cult of Pedagogy recent podcast and post. The title was Flash Feedback, and it was an interview with Matthew Johnson, who has created a system for providing very quick, meaningful feedback. And one of his points was that the technology allows us to do that, and we can copy and paste the same kind of comment over and over if we realize that students are making the same mistake, or we could use Control F to find certain words, or a comma, for instance, is what they use in the episode. And these tools will help us provide feedback more quickly. If we can establish workflows and systems, then that will really help the students.
I really love that, and we'll definitely link that post as well because it was a great read and listen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to point out we have shared a lot of different tools, and these ideas are requiring technology, but we know that there is an equity issue with that. And I think because of the emergency remote learning, we have realized this digital divide is even larger than we realized. And so we know that there are some gaps with the technology, and hopefully those things can be addressed during the summer. And when we come back, we'll be better equipped to handle some of those tech gaps.
Yeah, for sure. Those equity gaps are real, and the gaps are real. And as we kind of think about our favorite follow-up conversations, what will it be like in the fall? And as we think about transforming learning and whatever the setup will be in the fall, the reality is our students are going to come back to us, regardless of what that coming back to us looks like, they're going to come back with gaps in their learning. And so the question on so many people's minds right now, what are we doing to find those gaps and to fill those gaps?
Okay, so I've got an idea that I'd like to share, and it is part of my obsession with this idea of the learning sciences and retrieval practice. And this comes from a newish book called Powerful Teaching. And I've got it here in my hands. Laura can see it.
I can see it.
And there are, in the book, they talk about four power tools for powerful teaching and learning. And one of them is called feedback-driven metacognition.
Okay.
And I think the understanding of this could be what we need to help transform learning. So, Laura, let me tell you a little bit about feedback-driven metacognition.
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to start with, first of all, a name. So, Laura, can you tell me who is Patrice Bain?
Ooh, I love it when you give me quizzes on these podcasts without a heads up. No, I cannot.
Okay, that's good. And actually,
okay,
that's what I wanted you to feel and understand is, what does it really feel like to not know an answer? And I guess in this emergency remote learning environment, we have felt that a lot.
Mm-hmm. True.
But by the way, Patrice Bain is one of the co-authors of this book.
Hey, nice.
Along with Pooja Agarwal. But this understanding first is that we have to make sure our students know what it feels like not to know something. Mm. And there is a phrase that the learning scientists use called the illusion of confidence, where it is the students believe, or you believe, that you know something.
Ooh, as someone who has spent a lot of time teaching teenagers, I believe that the illusion of confidence is real. Please tell me more.
Exactly. And so this leads to also a second phrase that is the illusion of judgment. And so the two ideas are, one, that the students or teachers think that they know something, or they think they can remember it for a lot longer. Mm. And so as a teacher, Laura, how many times did a student ever say to you, I studied for 2 hours for that test. Why did I make a C on there? They thought they knew that information, Or they studied the wrong thing. They studied everything they already knew because it gave them that confidence, like, oh, yes, I already know that. Ooh. Where they should have spent their time studying the things they don't know. But to be able to do that, they have to understand what it feels like to not know. So if you don't know who Patrice Bain is, what are the steps you go to do to figure that out?
Yeah. Oh, okay. All of that makes sense and is striking a chord. And yes, if I had a heads up, I would have quickly Googled it so I wouldn't be on a podcast going, I do not know. That completely makes sense to me. And that feeling of truly not knowing, especially on the spot, knowing that this is being recorded. Yeah, that's palpable.
So I think one thing you mentioned earlier is we have to establish that community of learners in our classrooms. And so when we're thinking about the transformation side of things in the fall, we need to make sure that the students realize that it's okay to not know. And we need to make sure they understand this is a feeling of not knowing yet. We can go back to growth mindset there. And then what are some ways that we can get that information? And this could be scaffolds that the teachers have created. This could be also things that the students themselves have curated on their own, like, hey, Miss Laster, you shared this. I had no idea to do it, but I found this YouTube channel that showed me how. So I'm going to go back to that information and find that. So
man, I just really love the opening phrase that you mentioned, calling this feedback-driven metacognition. And I think as teachers, we're always reaching for that metacognition level with our students because it is so empowering. It makes me think of a quote from Gail's book, Time to Answer to Quote. But at the beginning of her chapter on feedback, she says, high quality feedback accelerates the learning process. And that is exactly what you just described.
Well, perfect quote to pull out of the book. And that is also this idea, going back to something we mentioned in the earlier episode about student agency and owning our own learning. So as adults, we have that metacognition ability. I don't know who Patrice Bain is, so let me search Google and find that out. And you were holding the book Powerful Teaching in your hand. Let me look at, see if I can Google Powerful Teaching, if that will give me a hint. And so do students know how to do that? Maybe a little bit more now because of emergency remote teaching, but how can we include even more of that in our classes in the future?
I love thinking about that transformation really as a nice tie together of all of the things we've talked about, you know, specifically thinking about that design that gives students more of that choice and that agency that, like you just said, you know, they've kind of had to develop a little bit more, knowing that we're not in a classroom together. And I'm not there with them. You also mentioned kind of a throwback to curation. Maybe I don't know who that is, but I have a couple of curated tools that I can quickly go to fill in those own gaps in my learning. And so everything you're describing really does sound transformative. And when we think about specific designs and giving that feedback to our students in the fall, I love that this is all kind of nicely tied together.
Well, I am just so in awe still of Gail Allen and this work that has become so especially relevant now in this time, and how we're seeing that these pillars can truly transform our learning.
I agree, and I love it, and I'm still not over the idea of just reading the book. I need to reach out to Gail and ask if I can read her audiobook or something bombastic like that. Oh, man. Well, what a great conversation, and what a great bookend on our discussion of feedback. Thank you for spending time with us today. Remember to take care of yourselves, take care of your families, take care of your students, and know that we will transcend this time of triage and emerge transformed. If you want to continue the conversations or if you have additional questions or feedback, find us on Twitter at @diglearnradio.